Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits. We reach the end of a highly emotional week. George Pickens traded. You insult Bob by calling his opinion ridiculous. And then to top it all off, Shelty gets fired. I don't know how Ben Cherington survived. I'm still sort of amazed at that.
You also missed this big moment with Tyler Kennedy.
City Limits, baby.
I like to think I have a lot of fight.
Clip that
145.
Too.
Remember that?
Yeah. He also talked about biting somebody's finger off, right?
Yes, he did. He talked about that a lot.
I think if you're going to put your finger in my mouth, I'm going to bite that thing off.
Yes.
Wow. That can't be overlooked.
I don't remember a week like this. Very few in, 15, 16 years, something like that.
Over 15 now.
On the fan. Yeah, going on 16. I'm just reeling right now. It's the end of the week. I'm over caffeinated. I just had pizza. Did you get the pizza in the hallway?
Me too. Great pizza from Slice on Broadway.
Slice on Broadway. Absolutely scrumptious. So let's give our final thoughts and give our listeners a chance to weigh in with final thoughts. The Pickens trade. I've said everything I need to say. You don't win with guys like him. And the Steelers don't get all kinds of credit for finally realizing that and getting rid of him. Mike Tomlin ignored the warning signs coming out of Georgia with Pickens. It was all there for everybody to see. Bruce Feldman laid it all out in The Athletic, where he talked to scouts and coaches around the league. People saying things like Pickens has been enabled his whole life. I wouldn't touch the guy. Well, the Steelers and Tomlin thought they knew better, and they didn't. So I guess in the end, credit for finally realizing it. But how many playoff games did Pickens help them win? He's not a guy that helps you win in the end. He does the opposite. And most teams knew that, it seems like, going into the draft. And based on what we were just talking about, apparently most teams knew that when the Steelers were peddling him around the league, where the answer pretty much everywhere except Dallas, and I don't know why anyone would trust them as being smarter than anyone, was no thank you. We don't want George Pickens. So final thoughts, is good to finally get rid of him, but big mistake in the first place to think you were smarter than the rest of the league. I thought you were going to weigh in there, Limits.
I was, but I saw you hovering your finger over the mic and about to turn it off before you sneezed, and now you sneezed right into the mic. I hope Pony hears that and cleans it off.
What are your ending thoughts on Pickens?
My ending thoughts on Pickens are, look, I was fully on board to trade him at the very end of the season. I would have preferred that it was during this current draft so that they could have used a pick on the pick that they got for Pickens to draft another wide receiver and be able to help themselves out there. It also tells me that they really trust and like Roman Wilson, because they would not make this move. And Omar Khan just said it at rookie minicamp. They would not have made this move unless they felt good about their wide receiver room. You can't win with troublesome wide receivers like George Pickens, like you mentioned. But it also says that it's a Tomlin philosophy that has to change. Like, the fact that they're not shifting off of this, which is now a 10-year run of wide receivers causing issues, you can even throw Juju onto the list with the off-the-field stuff.
What off-the-field stuff with Juju? How was he a detriment to winning in any way? The guy busted his ass every second he was on the field.
I'm not saying on the field.
What did he do off the field that was so troublesome to you?
Well, I thought the social media thing with Juju just got to be a little bit much with the
limits.
TikToks on the logos and the dancing and the milk crate challenges and stuff like that.
The milk crate challenge? You're holding a guy accountable for a milk crate challenge?
I am not saying that he is in the same realm as the Claypool play music.
Juju left here a legend. He's a guy that had one of the greatest hits in Steeler history
when
he laid out, yes, simply for his hit on Vontaze Perfect.
What did he win here? He's a legend? That's a high praise to give him as a legend.
One hit on Vontaze Burfict makes him a Steeler legend.
He can be looked at as a memorable person. He's not a legend. Joe Green's a legend. Trent Polamalu's a legend.
One hit.
Juju's not a legend.
One hit makes him that.
A legend?
But let's talk about what he did on social media with milk crates.
He could be a memorable figure. That doesn't make him a legend.
He's a legend in my mind.
I completely disagree.
He knocked out one of the biggest villains of the 21st century in Steeler football.
He did, yes. That doesn't make him a legend. He didn't win anything here. Regardless, that's not the point. The point is,
he won a playoff game, didn't he?
Moving up, did he?
I think he did.
I don't think he did.
Was it
maybe his first year?
Yeah, maybe not.
I thought he was drafted in 17. He played
distract.
In that Rose Bowl game.
Forget about. Don't include him with these other guys, please. Don't.
Okay. Regardless, regarding Pickens, they had to move off of him. I'm glad that they did trade him. I don't think that it would have been a good situation here with him, with Metcalf probably receiving a part of the targets.
He also said the Browns is the Browns, and that was legendary.
He also did say that, yeah. So I think moving off of Pickens was the right move. And after hearing these reports from The Athletic that people were just completely laughing at the Steelers for the idea of trading him, getting a third-round pick was probably the best they were going to get, and Dallas got desperate.
All right. How about the Shelty firing? I'm left with Shelty needed to be fired. He was really bad at his job, but I'm with Donnie and many others and said this yesterday that Charrington was way worse at his job. Here's the thing. Charrington's job is a trillion times more important than Shelty's job. Anybody could go out there with a team of great players and win. And nobody could take a team of bad players and do anything but lose. I think manager in baseball is the least important of all the head coaching positions in all of sports. Joe Torre's the best example of all. He was an idiot when he coached the Braves and the Cardinals, and then suddenly he was a Hall of Fame genius with the Yankees. So putting together the roster, finding players, drafting, developing, and signing players is an infinitely more important job than sitting in the dugout and making multiple choice decisions on which guy to put in games and so forth. And I know there's a little more to the job than that. But Charrington, with a far more important job, did a far worse job than Shelton. And if anybody should have been fired, it should have been that guy.
I am 100% with you. I would not have brought either of them back at the beginning of this year. You can make the argument they should not have even have brought the manager back for last season, and that's where I stand on it. I'm glad that they made the move, but at the same time, they should have made it beforehand, and we shouldn't even have gotten to this point.
And then it all begins with the owner.
Yes.
And once again, as I mentioned off the top of the show, you know, it's very rare that the Pirates get a national limelight. It's become a little more common with Skeens, but normally it's for something calamitous. And yesterday they were the lead on PTI when they had their 5 minutes with Buster Olney. It was the first question. There was video of Bob Nutting in the background as Tony Kornheiser piped up with this question for Buster Olney.
And basically he just continually blamed ownership.
It's about ownership spending money, which they just haven't done. Look, since the start of 2019, the Pittsburgh Pirates have spent about $1.2 billion less than the Dodgers. And that's an absurd comparison because the Dodgers are in LA. Since 2019, the Pirates have spent $200 million less than the Milwaukee Brewers. Bob Nutting, the owner, came out today and said, look, I want to see a sense of urgency. Bob, how about you? Stop hoarding your revenue sharing money and spend some money on good players.
So that's basically what everybody in the world thinks of the Pirates. And I know sometimes, like any sports team, they'll get sensitive to criticism. But like I told Frank Coonley on the street corner across the Clemente Bridge, I think it was at Clemente, what was 6th Avenue, before the wild card game, I said, see this? Nobody cares about all these other stories, like what happened at the Stroll Inn, where they were giving away pitchers of beer for every Pirates error or something like that. Nobody cares about any of that when you win. When you win, you're a hero. When you win, everybody loves you. When you win the Bucko Bricks and the Philly cocktail can and even the Usher beating somebody with a belt. And again, I may be on Team Usher in that one. I'm not sure yet. Those stories become things that people don't care that much about. When you lose, when you've lost for 28 of 32 years, when you haven't won a playoff series since 1979, when you haven't won a division since 1992, and when in year six of a rebuild, you're on pace for 51 wins, which would be your fewest ever in a 162-game season, then everything becomes magnified. So deal with it. Because all you do is lose and 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 lose. It's all you do is lose.
It's just gotten to the point where the exhaustion over the Pirates on May 9th.
It is exhausting.
It's just
it's exhausting.
So unfortunate.
And they'll disappear from the landscape. You know, Bubba Chandler will come up, might have some exciting moments, you know, things like that. But essentially, and earlier than usual, way earlier than usual, last year they didn't really disappear until the end of August.
No. I mean, they were
mid-August,
buyers
maybe.
At the deadline.
Yeah.
And they bought Brian De La Cruz.
Yeah. And then, of course, Kiner Falefa, who was off to the best start of his career in Toronto, comes here, and then he stinks all of a sudden.
He was hitting 300 in Toronto. He was in the I think it was the sixth best average of anybody in the American League, and he comes here, and it just fell apart.
And so they'll just simply disappear again for the entire summer from the sports landscape, and they do it. They've done it to themselves. It's self-sabotage. Every single year.
Especially when the Penguins are down, the Steelers are down, and still don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
This was the golden opportunity for the Pirates to just completely grab the narrative, to grab the eyes,
we need
the
them.
Attention of the city. You're right. We need the Pirates
right
now.
We need them more than ever, and it's their turn to do some of the heavy lifting, and they're simply not up to it. And it starts at the top. They're just simply not up to it. All right, Limits. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You're signaling me in a very disturbing way. Has something gone wrong?
I'm letting you know that there are some people that would like to chime in.
Oh, you were pointing at yourself like something horrible had happened.
Well, I was trying to give you a phone symbol that I was holding up
now.
To my head.
I do
head,
see
yeah.
that now. Yes, I apologize. Limits, I was singing a song about Malsy in here to myself and needed a rhyme for loud.
Oh, what a surprise, singing a song about Malsy.
And came up with George McLeod.
Wow, why not Ray Ray McLeod? Remember him?
Could have been him, yeah. What's the first thing you think of when I mention Ray Ray McLeod? I say dropping the ball against the, he was open in the end zone against the Lions and Mason threw him a one-hop grounder. Right?
Didn't he score a touchdown against the Steelers with the 49ers?
I think he might have.
Ray Ray?
Yeah. He did have a good return against Tennessee one year,
he
if
did.
I'm thinking of the right guy.
He had
a
one,
good punt return.
He had one good return in some game.
Wonderful man. George McLeod was from Florida State. He's 57 now, right around my age.
Okay.
What I didn't realize is that he was one of the first real high-volume three-point shooters in the NBA. In 1995-96, George McLeod averaged 9 three-point attempts per game, which led the league, and he scored 19 points per game. I'm delirious because it's the end of the week, and that's why I'm talking about George McLeod. But I liked him, Limits. You might even say I loved him. He was a really good player.
Okay.
50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Give me a random obscure athlete that you liked or loved and that maybe other people didn't think about that much. George McLeod is one for me. Sam Worthen, a point guard from Marquette, is another. Wendell Tyler, former running back for the LA Rams from UCLA, would be another one. Limits.
Ooh, I always liked Denzel Valentine for Michigan State basketball, and I liked Jaime Jaquez at UCLA in the last 5 years, who played, and I think they made it to the Final Four.
And he's with the Heat now, isn't he?
Yeah, Jaime Jaquez can play. Tiger Campbell was their point guard.
Yeah.
Johnny Juzang was on that team.
He
Mick Cronin,
good.
Their coach. Yeah. Good UCLA team.
Mick Cronin, smaller than you, for God's sake.
He's very short, yeah. You know, Tom Cruise is like 5'7". I don't even think he's that tall. I think he's like 5'6". How tall is Tom Cruise? They make him look taller in movies.
I don't know. And I didn't realize that Val Kilmer was in Top Gun until I saw. Did you see the documentary that he put out on Netflix?
He is 5'7", Tom Cruise. What, the Val Kilmer documentary?
Yeah. He basically filmed his whole life since he was a kid growing up with his brothers. And so his whole life is documented on film. It's unbelievable.
Rest in peace to Val Kilmer.
Yes. I mean, it was compelling stuff. Social media's biggest loser.
Malzi.
Brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. What's Cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester, very kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Hester. Very kindly.
I'm not going to forget this week anytime soon. I'll tell you
Me
that
either.
Limits.
Is it either or either?
It's either, I think. I mean, it's either, either, or either. You can say either one or either one.
Wonderful.
I think you can.
I do too, I hope. If not, I need to look in my Malzi thesaurus.
Did you ever meet Josh Miller?
No.
You should. You're the beat writer.
I can't
Very
just
nice
fly
man.
Down to Florida unless the station would permit that.
I don't feel like talking about the Pirates anymore. I think I'm burned out on them.
Why don't we talk to other people that would like to talk about them?
Okay. Yeah, that's what we were supposed to do here. Yeah. Why didn't you remind me of
I'm
that?
I'm doing that right now.
All right.
Here is Owen. He's in the van. He wants to talk about George Pickens.
Hello, Owen.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to call about, you ever think about maybe George Pickens wouldn't have as much problems if we actually gave him the ball more? I feel like he has so much talent, it was frustrating him, and I think that's one reason why he acted the way he did.
Yeah, I still think, though, if I'm paying you money to be a pro football player, the least you can do is show up for a game against the Chiefs on time, right?
That is true.
Thank you,
I
sir.
I agree with that.
Well, he agreed with me in the end. But yeah, no, his point was Pickens was generally unhappy here probably because they didn't feature him enough.
Right, and considering they had no other wide receivers of much prominence like him or talent, somewhat understandable from a George Pickens perspective.
Listen, I guess I understand frustration for every single person who's come through this offense in the last however many years. You had Randy Feuchner, who was Ben's personal friend, and basically Ben hired him, or it sure seemed like that, and he was Tomlin's old buddy too. And then you had Matt Canada, which was an unmitigated disaster. And now you have Artie Smith, who might be the most overrated assistant coach I've ever seen in my life. This guy was interviewing for head coaching jobs. Based on what?
North Carolina wanted to hire him as their head coach.
Based on
and
what?
And he said, no, nah, I'm good. I'll stay in the NFL. Omar Khan was just speaking to the media. He said a fresh start was the right thing regarding the Steelers and George Pickens.
Yeah.
A mutual parting ways, like the Penguins and Mike Sullivan mutually parting ways.
Win a playoff game. Oh, wait, just be competitive in a playoff game. That'll be a step forward. Next.
Here is Jerry in Gibsonia.
Buenas manana, Jose. Joe, I really enjoyed the pizza story you told about the person that didn't give you your pizza. And they were looking for Jose instead of Joe.
Yeah, that was memorable. I'll acknowledge that. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it was. I was thinking about this. You know, they got rid of Shelty, but also they should get rid of his handpicked coaches, the third base coach, first base coach, and also the hitting coach. Even though
here's one guy they did get rid of, and you'll be probably pleased to know this, and I appreciate the call. while they kept Mike Rebelgo, as far as I know, the third base coach.
He's still here.
Who's their strategist slash, you know, analytics guru expert that, as one texter told me today, a friend of mine said they finally punted that guy and his binder into the sun.
Radley Haddad. It might be Haddad, but I think it's Haddad.
Well, we've had enough of him.
Enough of whoever, he's gone.
I mean, that is incredible that you would have a guy who basically his job description is the same as a major league manager. Do you think that Shelty made his own lineups? He was adamant on the show with me that he did. I'm sure he was the one that wrote them in the end with a pencil. That doesn't mean he's the guy that constructed them.
I think he was heavily influenced by people. I'm sure Radley Haddad definitely had some influence. I don't know who else on the staff, maybe the hitting coach. Did Andy Haynes have some influence on the lineup? And I want to know who's the one that constructed all these days off. O'Neill Cruz needs a day off here. We can't play McCutcheon until it seemed like the heat was really turned up and McCutcheon was calling him out on social media, even in the slightest regards.
Next.
Here is Mike on 79, wants to talk about the Pirates.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing wonderfully. Except you said yesterday after Doc called, poor Doc, he's been a fan of the Pirates for 70 years.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. But I'm 31 and I've seen 3 winning seasons. He got to see Maz. He got to see Stargell, Clemente. I haven't got to see anything.
Well, and if you're 31, you got to see McCutcheon at the height of his powers. You got to see the wild card win. You actually got to see 3 winning seasons.
I went to the Cubs game, and it was the best atmosphere, and I have season tickets to the Steelers. It was the best atmosphere I've ever been to. There's a huge baseball fandom in this town that's masked by this disgraceful owner, and it's terrible. And I'll still be a fan, and there'll be a huge upbringing one day whenever they're ever good. I don't know if they will be. I don't know if they'll be good in my daughter's lifetime.
Well, Ron
She's
Cook.
3 months old.
Yeah, Ron Cook left here, and he said he didn't think he would ever see the Pirates win again in his lifetime, a World Series. Maybe not even a playoff game.
I think we should give Doc in Claysville a chance to respond. Here's Doc.
Hello, Doc.
Hi, fellas. What is the highest term you could say for being rage?
Irate, maybe, Doc?
That's a good one, yeah. It's good. Anyway, I'm on the top of that list because this is ridiculous. The real deal is we have almost five months of baseball left, and all the millions of Pirates fans might as well throw in the towel. They have no games because Donnie ain't going to be able to pull it off. But I do have a solution. That Connor, Bob Nutty. That solution is.
What's the solution, Doc? I didn't catch that.
The solution is call up AJ Burnett. He's the type of guy you need in the dugout. He can be the bench coach and help Donnie. And I'll tell you, if anybody can chew him up, like the guy said. And last thing, I just got to repeat again that all the ball games is help people make it through the whatever troubles they have. It's been taken away by one man. And the last thing for me is what they should do is start to boycott the stadium again, even though they made a move with the manager.
Thank you, sir. Limits, have a good weekend.
All right, Joe, you too. Golf well. Great week. Great to spend it with you.